Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. When you're going on a first date before having met in real life, how much do you consider cost? Do you understand if the guy doesn't want to invest too much until after you meet, or does it make you think that he is cheap? That's the question.
Yeah. I think I don't want to invest too much. You don't even know if he's going to pay.
Right.
So like, that's not necessarily a guarantee. And I usually try to offer anyways. And I've had a couple first dates that ended very weird or poorly. And so I would rather pay for myself when something like that happens.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I just never want it to be like, I don't know, something that they can use to hold over my head, maybe. So, and I would prefer just to like to have a drink or go for coffee. And then you're not committed to so much time. Whereas like a dinner or a lunch, you're there for probably an hour at least, if not longer.
Yeah.
I think like 45 minutes is probably good.
Especially if you use that 45 minutes to actually figure things out. So,
right.
And you're not just him hawing around.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's really hard for me to stay open. I've been trying to take the whole HOD cat's perspective of, you know, just saying yes and seeing where it will lead, because I'm the kind of person who like, I can take one look at you and be like, nope. I can assess you right away. And that's how I feel. And so I've tried lately to just really be more open-minded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is great, because I myself have been too closed off. And so, yeah, like I don't want to keep saying yes to everybody.
Yeah. I don't want to waste anybody's time, but I think,
yeah,
you know, I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a good way to look at it too, though, is like, you don't want to, not only for me, I don't want to waste their time, but I also don't want to waste my time.
Right.
And I tend to be the person that's like, let's ask all these hard questions out front, you know, because I'm like, I don't, if we're not going to line up on these things, then we're not going to line up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be how I'm using my 45 minute coffee date. Although I'm also the type of person that tends to ask those questions before getting to the date. So
yeah, some of those harder ones.
Yeah, some of those harder
wise
ones.
Idea.
Yeah, because again, I don't want to go out on a date if there's not a little bit more of possibility there. So
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, let's see. If you feel comfortable, do you want to talk about the purity culture question?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you don't have to if you don't want to, because I'm looking at your answer, but.
Yeah, I would say that because I am a widow, I was married for 8 years, together for 11. I saved myself for marriage. It was like super, you know, important as part of that purity culture. Like my parents got me a purity ring. I was in college. I was in Bible college when that whole Josh, what's his face book came out about courting, and that hit so hard. And so I felt like I had done this wonderful thing, saving myself for marriage. And then all of a sudden I'm single and I'm not even a virgin anymore. So that was really hard, because I felt like, well, what's the point now? Now I'm like used goods. And and if I wanted to like marry somebody who was also, that wasn't going to happen at that point, you know, because I was like I was 33. So that was really hard for me. Mm-hmm. And I think I just felt like, yeah, I mean, plus I was widowed. So I kind of like lost myself and went off the deep end for a little while, because I felt like, you know, who cares? Why does it matter? And sort of finding the whole point of remaining pure, and what's the message behind it, has nothing to do with like my value as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that took me a while to get back to that.
Yeah.
The messaging was wrong from the beginning with purity culture. The why behind it wasn't very well explored. So it took some maturity to get there. And maybe that's partly because we were so young during that time. Mm-hmm. It's easy to accept something, to have a rule to follow without understanding why. Mm-hmm. So it was just a rule. It was a rule, but it placed so much value on it, like who I was as a person.
Mm-hmm. Yep, agreed. I still feel like I'm dealing with some of the ramifications as far as like my own worth and, you know, what that looks like. And it's just, it's crazy. I think part of it came from a good place, but I also think that the enemy was allowed to use it and, you know, it became this big, huge thing about your identity and, yeah, you know, like what all that is when it's not, your identity isn't your purity.
Right.
You know, so yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly it.
I don't even, I mean, there's just some days where I'm like, this was just, yeah, like, how can we do better from here on out, you know, because purity is still important, obviously, but it's not, like you said, it's not tied to your value. It's not tied to you necessarily. So, you know, what does that look like moving forward?
Yeah.
And then you're a mom, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now I'm going to ask you, well, how have you had that? Have you had that conversation with your kids, or what does that look like for you?
Yeah. So I have three girls. Two are older. So I've got one who's just about turned 20, and then a 17-year-old and an 11-year-old. So I think it's been more of a gradual thing, you know, as they, luckily they kind of weren't as boy crazy as me. So they've stayed away. My two older two have really kind of stayed away from boys. Anyways, so I think it's really important to like take the conversations as they come, because when it is like a forced thing, like my parents did with me with the purity ring, it just puts so much weight on that. And I would rather they learn who they are as a person in Christ. And I think telling those stories, like sticking to the Bible, there's so many stories of people that were in Jesus's lineage, right, who had some majorly messed up sexual pasts,
mm-hmm,
particularly women. And he chose to put them in his story because he wanted them to show that they had value and worth. And even David, who was a man after God's heart, you know, so super important to like tell those stories, I think. And then it's more about, I think for me, how you feel after you've sinned against God in that way, you know, like you, mm-hmm, like you feel, you don't feel good. It's not, I don't know if I'm making a lot of sense, but really it's more about, wanting to maintain that connection with God, mm-hmm, and not push him far away. And so, yeah, I think that's kind of the route I've chosen to go with them.
Mm-hmm.
More of the why, but in a way that they can understand because they're still young.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I there was another single mom that I wanted to ask that question to, and then I didn't. So now I'm glad I asked you.
Well, and I think like using my own mistakes is a huge deal because so when I was widowed, I very quickly met somebody else, and immediately because I was so like, I was really grief stricken. I was not myself, and I was very worried that how was I going to take care of my needs and my kids' needs?
Mm-hmm.
And so I got into a relationship right away and eventually got pregnant before I was even married. And so to talk about that with my girls has been really important. To say like, and especially my youngest, who's the fruit of that, to say, you know, it's not that I don't love you and I'm so happy that you're my child, but she's had to deal with the ramifications of divorce, mm-hmm, and how that's affected her life because of poor choices on my part and her dad's part. So to just be upfront and real about those, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think like kids, sometimes they grow up too fast, but then in other times, like I've seen that they're too sheltered, you know, and then it's kind of like figuring out that that line with each kid. Because again, like, or each kid is different too, like how they're, yeah, gonna understand it and, you know, what that looks like for them in their, yeah, life. So, yeah, Well, I applaud you for, you know, walking that path. You're welcome. Yeah, because it's not easy. Like, I don't have kids yet myself, but I've seen like what my brother and sister are having to kind of go through with their kids. And so it's like, ooh. You know, we're all products of purity culture. And so it's just like, okay, what does this really look like? And how can we do better, but also still get the same point across? And, you know,
I think part of purity culture that was so, I think, was a mess that I definitely don't want my kids to experience is the whole like boundaries for when you're together and never when you're dating someone, like never be alone, you know, stop at these specific times. It's just a lot of rule following. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of what does God want for me in this situation? And then there's also like the balance as a mom of trusting their decisions and their choices, but offering them guidelines that are helpful, not always so rigid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, like, you bring up a great point of, you know, it's still their life. It's still their decision, you know, right. Like, I don't know if that's exactly how you meant it, but that was what I thought.
Yeah. Well, they're going to do what they want to do ultimately, whether you give them play by play exactly how things should go or not.
Yeah, exactly. But it's still like important to, you know, figure out or not. What was the word I'm looking for? Oh, the trust aspect. There we go. Like allowing them to live in that trust, because I feel like with certain scenarios when parents are too like, I'm going to hold you right here, you know, you're not allowing your kid to actually grow. And that's another topic though.
True.
Okay. So your expectations as far as a man leading in a relationship, do you want to kind of expand on that? Because I like your answer.
I've really been struggling with this lately. I think I've recently went on a date and I hadn't been on a date in quite some time. Mm-hmm. And the guy's a believer, a little bit older than me, which I've been tending to date younger. And so I've been trying to be outside my comfort zone. And he kind of immediately went that whole like leader route. And so I think I wrote in there, like, I was calling him spiritual platitude guy to my friends. You know how we like label guys, like,
yes,
not by their name, but like, so he was like, just trust that God will take care of that. You know, he'll take care of you in that. And it felt very demeaning. Like he was patting me on the head, like, oh, come on, you know, God has your back. And those sayings are so trite. And they just don't really deal with any real issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm on staff at a church, you know, surrounded by male pastors constantly. And it took me a while because I left that date. We actually went on two dates. Super nice guy. My daughters laugh because they say that's the only thing I can say about him. He's a super nice guy. and a believer, but I don't think he's ever dated a woman who was a believer, A, and B, like intellectual. That's kind of my impression. Because when I thought about it and why it bothered me so much is that I, you know, here I am surrounded by, like I said, males who are in leadership over me on a daily basis, and they would never say those spiritual platitudes to me.
Right.
They would, like, we're equals. And how you lead in that sense is so important, because I don't want somebody like pulling me along like I'm a baby and they need to like coddle me and make sure that I know that God's in control. Of course I know these things. Mm-hmm. I've been a Christian probably longer than you, and, you know, been in Bible school and have my master's degree, and it's just really hard. And so I think humility and just come alongside me. I don't want you to really tell me how you think I should do things or, I think just lead by example. Mm-hmm. Let your actions be and be loving. And then I will just want to follow you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what Jesus did.
Amen. That is what he did. It's not like he was out here. I'm like, okay, I got to control the rant that was about to come out. Okay. It's not like he was out here, you know, to all the women that were following along with the disciples, being like, oh, you have to be submissive and blah, blah, blah. Like, your place is in the kitchen. You know, like, he wasn't doing that. Are you kidding me? Like, he, you know, he served them just as much as he was serving the disciples. And, you know, he paid the ultimate sacrifice. And, you know, in, I think it's Ephesians. Yeah, Ephesians 5. When it's talking about, like, what a man is supposed to do, and that's supposed to be lay down his life for his wife, right? And also love her as himself, just like Christ did.
Right.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And then because of that, it's our automatic, like, I feel like it's going to be my automatic response to be like, okay, cool.
Right.
We're going to go where you're leading, like, because you've already checked in with God, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and it's a balance for me because I am divorced and there was a lot of like emotional, spiritual abuse. And it was really immaturity on his part to try to like be the head alpha man and feel like he was in charge because he was younger and less experienced. And so it was like a constant, like forced trying to lead. And so after I got divorced, I was like, I just don't even know if I want to marry a Christian anymore because it was so like PTSD, you know? And so I really struggle. And that's why I kind of questioned myself with this date with this guy, because I think he thought he was doing the right thing, you know? it really is kind of spiritual immaturity. Mm. And it's difficult because I think someone just posted on the HOD forum asking the question about leading. Did you see that? Was that yesterday or the day before?
Was it on A24 or in an A24?
It was A24.
Oh.
I think.
Okay. I'm not sure.
But she asked about, you like, how do you feel dating someone who's on church staff or in church leadership? Because I feel like guys are intimidated to ask me out. That's what she said. And there were several responses that were, well, as long as you're not a pastor, it's fine, which she was in agreement with. And I'm not. So that is difficult.
Yeah.
Now we're like on that gray line of, you know, well, what are you doing? If you're on staff and you're ministering for people, then essentially you're doing the same thing that a pastor does. And we're still navigating that, you know, as every church body is navigating that right now. But I still feel what she's saying, regardless of whether she's considered a pastor or not. It can be intimidating to some guys, but there needs to be like respect there, because if you don't have the education or the skills to care for people in that way, you're gifted in other ways. You don't need to be telling your spouse how to do her job better just because you're the male.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of gross and really immature.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm on my soapbox.
You're fine.
I don't think a mature man would do that, would try to like play the alpha role in that way.
Mm. Yeah. And I think I would agree with that, because I feel like a more spiritually mature individual would recognize that we're all gifted differently. And you know, that ministry would, in whichever form it's going to be, like, is going to be different because of how we're gifted. And that doesn't mean that you can't like come alongside your wife and like help her minister, or in the aspect of like whatever that ministry aspect is, what I'm saying.
Right, right.
You know, and or, you know, like as the wife doing the same thing, like,
yes.
Because I feel like you can still have different like ministry outlooks, because, you know, some of us, our ministry is our job. Some of us, it's actually in the church, you know, and there's that gray area in between. And so that doesn't mean that you can't come alongside your partner and step into a role that's helpful in that area. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it doesn't mean that you're going to sit there and tell them how to do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Especially if you're not gifted in that area. Like, you know, so one of my spiritual gifts is administration. And so I'm very, very organized, especially in a ministry aspect. But like, if somebody came in and tried to tell me how to be better organized, I would be like, no. You might organize differently than I do, but this is my my workflow, and you can just go stand over there.
Well, I would like never tell my senior pastor how to preach better. Like, exactly. That would be ridiculous. But I think guys have kind of a false sense of like how they're supposed to lead. Ooh. So I don't know where that comes from, because it's not the Bible.
It's not. Amen. I have some very specific feelings about that. But yeah, I agree. And I think it's cultural. I think it's spiritual warfare, to be honest. You know, like we get these influences from the outside and it sounds close enough to the Bible. So we're like, oh yeah, cool. That's biblical. Until you actually go back and read it and realize that it's not biblical. And, you know, it's just that little serpent in Eve's ear telling her that, or, you know, whatever the situation is, right? Like, that's just,
right.
Yeah. Like, hello.
You know what is a great example of that? I don't know why this keeps coming to my mind, but it's the Barbie movie.
Oh my gosh, I just had a conversation about that. Continue, because I haven't seen it.
I mean, obviously, we have to look at everything through a spiritual lens, but there is some really great stuff to be said for how they try to pull apart the roles of male and female, and then kind of the conclusion of that, like, don't try to be like the end all be all alpha male, but also like, hey, go figure who you are yourself. And then the same thing with Barbie, like, just be who you are and be strong and stand firm in that. And then of course there's downsides to, you got to look at the bad sides of it too, that pieces that aren't scriptural. Obviously Barbie was not written to be a biblical authority.
Yes.
But I think that culturally that it is kind of interesting to look at how they're trying to pull apart those roles and what society has done with them. And I think that's similar to the conversation we're having right now. Like, at least the aspect of like men being taught to lead in an incorrect way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know. I can't say whether I agree on that aspect.
Yeah.
But yeah, the lady that I just got off with a little bit ago brought up Barbie too, and she kind of touched on the same thing, and she was like, it would have been better if they had just put God in it, you know. And I was like,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Well, right, because when ultimately at the end of the movie, when they're saying like, just live for yourself and be who you are, well, then add God to that, obviously, be who you are in God's eyes, and He's the center of everything, and our ultimate end is to glorify Him in everything that we do, which adds a why to our lives, which is very different from what was in the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
But I see where she's coming from.
Yeah. She was like, it was really good. It's just also, you know, she was kept referencing like the cultural issues with like things. And I was like, I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know. Because I've heard so many mixed reviews and just kind of like, I don't know if I want to see it. But yeah, maybe now I will, just so I can form a little bit better of opinion about it. But yeah, anyway, it's crazy to me when like we as a culture, as a Christian culture, allow all these other things to kind of, you know, come in and have this influence, and then nobody's like really checking it, or there are the people who are checking it, but then those are the ones that are labeled as crazy and, right, you know, whatever, instead of being listened to.
Yeah. I think you asked the question about how important is it that the person you date have a mentor?
Mm. Yeah.
And that is where I think that's super key, because then all those issues like humility and it shows that a person's humble right away. It shows that they're a good communicator, because they have taken the initiative to find someone to. And it's just like right away says, I don't really know everything, and I really want to learn from someone who does. I just think that's so important. And sadly, it just doesn't happen enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't think of any guy in the last, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years who said, oh, I'm meeting with, you know, I asked to meet with one of the pastors at my church, or this couple who has kids and I don't yet, and I want to know. Yeah, I just want to learn from them. It's just so rare.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And I think that's lacking and has been lacking for far too long.
Yeah.
And on both sides of the coin, though, too, like, I feel like there's not enough older women who are pouring into the younger generations. And it's really unfortunate. That's also a soapbox for me.
That's true, though. It's very true.
Yeah, I would definitely mark a 10 on that one because it is incredibly important. Like, I want my person to be, like you said, humble enough to seek accountability from somebody who's been there and they can glean that wisdom because, you know, we're not all Solomon. So we all have to learn from somewhere.
Yeah. My cousin, when we were in college, she started dating her now husband, and he was an orphan who was adopted, and he had a mom and dad initially when he was adopted, but his father was very abusive. And so his mother left his father when he was like 2 years old. So he was only raised by a woman, and he was raised within the church, played a lot of sports, and my cousin really loved him, but she saw the need for him to like be mentored by men. And so she told him, like, I need a break because I feel like you're just not there yet. And you're so eager to like get married. And I'm seeing like that there's a lack. And so he went to a camp for the summer and worked with a bunch of men and then asked a couple of them to be his mentors and then went back again the next year and did the same thing and then kept in touch with them throughout the year. And over that year span of time, it was like he became a different person. And then she was like, okay, now, now you're ready. But man, that takes a spiritually mature woman to be like,
yeah,
I don't think you're there yet. You have some things you need to work on. And then a humble man to be like, you're right. I should try to seek out some mentors. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I do think it makes all the difference.
Oh, for sure. It definitely does. It's just so needed. And it's biblical. Like, hello. Yeah. It's laid out in the Bible. Yeah. So very true. Yeah, it should be happening more often. So anyway, I don't want to soapbox about it, but I have very, very strong feelings regarding that topic. But yeah, anyway. Okay, let's talk about your biggest struggle currently with dating.
The Christian conservatives. Mm-hmm. I live in the Central Valley of California in this small town called Clovis. I'm actually on the outskirts, so I'm out in the country where there's a lot of ranchers and like ag farmers because we're the center of produce for not just California, but a bunch of other states as well. Mm-hmm. And so it is like living in a mini Texas. We have the rodeo and we lots of guys in cowboy boots and hats. And in some ways, they tend to be more humble and kind. But the political conservatism is very, it's almost scary. So like you hear where I live, it's kind of hard to explain unless you're here. Mm-hmm. If you see a truck drive by and it has a big old American flag flying out the back of it, it's almost like it might as well be a Confederate flag because they swing. So it's a big like American pride thing. And there's bigotry and ego and no ability to see outside their small world that they've been in for their entire lives. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call it worldliness because that's not the right word. No understanding of other cultures and of how offensive their nationalism may be to other people. And any dating apps you're on, they will call themselves Christians. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say that they're conservative and politically, and automatically it's a no for me because that is, to me, what I've experienced is extreme pride and the inability to love people where they're at and to try to understand and like be empathetic of other cultures and to see the bigger picture outside of yourself. And it's scary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of it leads to, like I said, bigotry and racism. And it's not Christian at all. and that's, I know that's really controversial and people have written about that on both the, is it 1824 or 824?
824, yeah. 824. Yeah.
And then, and the HOD page, but with lots of different responses and people feel really strongly.
Yes.
It's a super divisive. I would say even like with my parents, it was the first thing, like when Trump came into office, that was the first time that I disagreed with my parents politically on something. Mm. And so it's kind of the great divide in our culture right now. It's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. See, cause I live in SoCal. So,
yeah,
you know,
we got a lot more liberal.
Yeah. We have the opposite. We have a lot more liberal and it's like the other extreme, you know, and it's like, okay. For me personally, like I feel I leaned more conservative on certain things, right? Yeah. And then there's other things where some people would call me liberal and I'm like nah, I'm just somewhere in the middle, y'all, like just
yeah
because I mean you're again
like, me.
Yeah, like I technically guess I say I'm conservative because that's more like where some of my or the majority of my, you know, views lean, but it's also I still feel like I'm more of like a moderate, like in the middle on stuff, you know, like obviously there are things that are very biblical that I'm like, okay, yeah, it's a hard no, you know, as far as like sin and stuff like that. But, you know, there's still some gray area because it doesn't mean or hang on thought. It's not like the Bible talks about political parties. Right. You know what I mean? And like which way we're supposed to lean on all these other things that aren't necessarily biblical issues. And, you know, so it's just kind of like, why does it have to be that big of a deal? You know, I don't know. But
yeah, like, I agree.
Yeah. Again, you know, there are some areas where I'm like, yeah, that's a hard, hard no. But also I feel like that lines up with the Bible. So.
I agree. Like there are obviously some big issues that I would lean conservative on, but then to use those big issues as like the platform for why you should be politically conservative misses a lot of those other areas where that conservatism is affecting other people. It's really difficult when you take a viewpoint and you decide to shut others off. Yeah. We should be able to at least have those conversations and hear people's stories is really what it amounts to.
Yeah.
Because story is everything. And you can say you feel one way and then hear someone's gray area, you know? And I think we should be listening though to those. And that should draw us back to the word to be able to say like, well, how do I really feel about this? Like outside of, you know, what my political party is saying, like go back to the Bible, listen to people's stories, have empathy for the woman who was raped and is pregnant and and is scared and doesn't know what to do. Golly, like as Christians, we should be loving and have empathy. It doesn't mean we can't still feel that abortion is wrong.
Right.
But we should be able to listen to other people's perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, in those scenarios, like, I feel like you never know what that woman needs to hear, you know, and if you're coming at her from this, like, you know, killing your baby is murder and blah, 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 you're going to go to hell. Like, that's not the way you should come at it. I mean, because I'm very opposed to abortion, but that's still not how I would go about it. Like, I would sit there and be like, okay, well, let's talk about this. And, you know, have you thought about adoption or, you know, like whatever, and just kind of try and hear her out. And it's still understand that it's still her choice.
Yeah.
And I'm still gonna, you know, like love that person anyway. Cause we all have our choices and
Well, it does come down to like, so then she decides to have the abortion and what, you just are gonna drop her.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because that's not what Jesus would have done. That's obviously, you know, he would have come alongside her and loved her where she was at. And that is what would have changed her, you know, her life.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I mean, and I have friends that had abortions when we were younger and, you know, so like watching them walk through that on the flip side, you know, and then one of them in particular having a conversation with me a couple years back going like, I regret it. I, you know, wish that I didn't do it. You know, because we're at a baby shower. And, you know, so she was just like kind of sitting there opening up to me. But if I had back in the day been like, well, I'm never speaking to you again. And like, you know, showed up at this baby shower and she was there and didn't go sit down and like give her a big old hug. She wouldn't have never had the conversation with me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And to be able to like talk to her about it and be like, you know what, like you know, I'm like, have you asked forgiveness for it? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, then you're forgiven. Like, don't keep holding on to that. Don't keep listening to that voice in your head that's telling you, you know, whatever it's telling you. And, right. you know, and all that stuff. And she's like, you're right. Like, I keep just holding on to it because I feel so guilty. And I'm like, yeah, but if you really have given it over to God and you've asked for forgiveness, then that guilt is not from God. That is from right. the enemy, right. you know? And it's just like, wow. Yeah. yeah. You know? And it's just... Anyway, but she, you know, now she's a mom and, you know, she's living her best life. And, you know, it's just kind of like sometimes you people in those scenarios just need to kind of get past whatever the situation was and be able to work back around to it. So,
right.
Yeah. Anyway, I wasn't expecting to go into that conversation.
I know, lots of tangents, huh?
A little bit, but that's okay. I was just curious, though, because I'm like, I think she lives up north. And so that's why I wanted to ask the question about that. Because again, I live down here and it's like, I mean, I still live in a semi-conservative area, but we still have the exact opposite. So I'm like, how do you live? What is it like up there?
It's just, I think it comes with the territory of it just being this agricultural
yeah.
mecca. And that is the culture. And there's great high points of that, but then there's some real low points.
Yeah.
And it's hard. The dating scene is really difficult. But then you travel outside it, like go down south and everybody's super liberal. So I just need the one perfect in-between person.
Thank you. Same. Maybe there's two of them. I don't know.
I don't know.
I know. It's so brutal down here because it's just like, okay, you lean way too far the other way for me and this ain't going to work because you're definitely not going to fit into my family if you're too far that way either. So, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like,
well, now you've heard the other side of the...
of the coin. Yeah. I was curious.
Not always greener on the other side, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, it's crazy. But anyway, thank you for sharing that though, because I was really curious when I saw that. So yeah.
I think that I've been learning lately, especially in the past year, I mentioned that, you know, for a while, I didn't want to date anyone who's even Christian because I was scared of someone gaslighting me or being spiritually abusive or trying to quote unquote lead me and my kids. That includes my kids. Mm-hmm. And the whole political side of things. And I think I had a conversation with one of my best friends and she said, it sounds like what you're saying is that you just want to find somebody who's like Jesus. And so I think I've tried to stop with the labels, reading the labels. And I just want to find somebody who's like Jesus. So whether that means that they are politically conservative or liberal, I will know if they're like Jesus when I spend time around them. Mm. And that gives a different perspective to the way that they lean politically. I think that's the key. And labeling yourself a Christian doesn't mean that you're Christ-like.
Also, amen to that. That's very accurate. Yeah. That's also what I experienced down here. I'm like, okay, so what do you think about this? Or like, what does the Bible say about this? And
yeah.
But anyway, that's a good point though. Like, do they look like Jesus instead of, does it matter what their label is?
Right. Right.
Ooh, that could even point into some of our other non-negotiables.
Like, oh, do tell.
Thought. Okay. So like, if you want to look at it, like, does this person make this much money? Do they, you know, weigh this amount? Are they this height, you know, or whatever? What does that really matter?
Right.
Are they Christ-like? That's really what the biggest thing should be. And I feel like if they are Christ-like, all those other things fall into place. You know?
Yeah. One of the key things that going back to like what you said about what did you ask me what qualities I look for? I can't remember what you asked and what was in the questionnaire, but I guess it's equally you asking humility.
Yes.
But then part of that is loving people well, because that's what Jesus did. That is something that you can tell about someone easily on a first date by how they treat everyone where you're at. Like if you're at coffee or if you're grabbing a drink at a bar, you know, how do they treat the staff? How do they treat you? Do they notice people sitting around you? do they even like talk to them or give them a compliment? Like those are big. That's a big deal to me personally. Doesn't necessarily have to be to everyone, but I do think that Jesus loved people. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He definitely did that. But that's like, that brings up another like point though, too, of, I don't know if I want to go into that part of it, but I feel like us in this day and age currently in this year, after some of the things we've gone through in the last few years, like, are just so wrapped up in ourselves and not paying attention to those people that are around us. You know, I don't remember if it had to have been the 824 group. Somebody said something, it might've been a couple of weeks back now, but like sometimes all somebody else needs is a smile or something along those lines. I think it was in a comment about, I don't remember what the topic was, but I saw that and I was like, dang, that's true. You know, like, and you don't know, you never know when complimenting somebody on something or smiling at them is going to be that moment that they needed.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what's going on in their lives, you know? Right. So yeah, caring for others is huge. And I agree. Like you can find out a lot about somebody in those instances of like how they interact with those people that are around them. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I road rage out all the time because I lived. But I always feel guilty about it.
That's just a car, though. That's not really a person.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, sorry, Lord, for whoever that person was in that car. Please forgive me for the things that I said and thought in my head.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, I'm still human. So sometimes things come out.
Exactly.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at An Epiph with Tiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.